Welcome to So-and-So, brought to you by Bernina, Made to Create. I'm Meg Goodman, and you're about to enjoy a casual conversation with a special member of the Soist community. A casual conversation about how they got started, what inspires them, what excites them, and their connection to this community. Our guest today is Craig Conover, entrepreneur and star of the Bravo series Southern Charm, a show that follows the personal and professional lives of young adults from Charleston, South Carolina. The show premiered in 2014 and just wrapped its seventh season. Craig is one of the two original cast members still on the show. The shows followed Craig as he became disenchanted with the legal profession. Throughout this process, he started to pay more attention to his passion for sewing, which quickly became a major plotline. While other cast members treated his love of sewing as a joke and often mocked him, Craig is the one who had the last laugh. Through persistence, he launched his brand Sewing Down South, which has featured exclusive collections on HSN, and recently partnered with renowned furniture brand Thomasville to create a line of seasonal pillows. According to Craig, he wants to break down the stereotype that sewing is only for your grandmother or only females. To him, sewing is a form of self-expression and gives him an outlet to express his creativity. It also helps him decompress and stay true to himself. Hey, Craig, welcome to So-and-So.
Hey, what's going on? Thanks for having me. This is exciting. I've been looking forward to it.
Us too. You know, there's so many facets to your life, Craig. And because we're here today to talk about the sewing aspect, can you start by telling us how you got started sewing?
Yeah. So I was in eighth grade, actually. And fortunately, when I was in grade school, we still had classes like home ec and tech ed, which ended up being my favorite classes. Obviously, I love gym class too. And, you know, math, honestly, English was the only one that really I didn't enjoy too much. So I had home ec and my teacher, Miss Hurley, I attribute everything really where I am to her, because the first half of the year we would spend cooking, and she taught us how to cook, and I actually really enjoy cooking, and I have since that year. And then the second half of eighth grade, you learn how to sew. And so that's where I originally learned the basics. And then around probably 5 to 6 years ago, when I was separating from my girlfriend at the time, I had a garden and a workshop at home. And so I moved out, and all I was left with was my sewing machine. And I had kind of had these grandiose thoughts of starting a clothing line. Well, making clothes is really hard, and I've never been taught how to do that. But I needed some sort of outlet for my creation, or my need to create, which I've learned about in the past few years, that that's what I was longing for. And so I was like, I have to remember how to sew something. And so I sewed, you know, I started to sew a pillow. And when I turned it right side out for the first time, I got that feeling of euphoria and that rush that I did when I would garden or build something. And I loved it. And so I put all of my effort into making pillows, and I learned through YouTube some more advanced techniques and just taught myself. And so I used it as a coping mechanism, but also a newly found lost hobby. And I knew it's something I wanted to do for a long time.
So you said coping mechanism. Tell us more about what sewing is like for you, and just overall the impact that it has, you know, in your life, as you are a pretty busy guy.
It's very therapeutic. I've found that it's a healthy outlet for, you know, I have some OCD tendencies and some perfectionism in me, and it actually slowed me down in the beginning of my company, because I just never felt like my product was good enough. Even though looking back, it was for, you know, what people wanted, I just, every stitch had to be perfect. And so through that, I learned that, you know, there's some beauty and flaws and stuff with sewing and every other facet in life. And I started to just relax and have fun with it. And when I sit down in front of my machine, you know, the rest of the world goes away. And instead of, you know, drinking or going out or those unhealthy forms of, I mean, there's tons of ways to to relax. But for me, sewing was better than anything else. And so the fact that I had a finished product at the end of it and that I had created something gave me justification that I wasn't wasting my time sewing. And God, like, I enjoy doing laundry. I don't know why, but it puts like, I need a task. And sewing became a task that I really, really enjoyed. And I started to share it with others. And that was even more fun. So for some reason, yeah, whether it was working in my, my shop or gardening or the sewing machine, I think I never understood it either. And I talked to one of my friends as a psychologist, and she was like, Craig, this is called the need to create. And there's just a really big joy that I get from sewing. And it also can be a challenge and learning new things. And so I felt like I had just opened the lid of this whole new world that I could really divulge in. Whether it's making stuffed animals, which I found to be incredibly difficult, or embroidering wedding presents or baby presents. There was always something for me to do. And I fell in love with it.
You know, during these COVID times, there are thousands of people who have taken up sewing to relax, to use it for the energy, to many of the reasons that you talked about. And I've often heard people talk about the hum of the machine being very comforting for them. I've also heard people talk about not following the rules. You're going to make mistakes. It's not perfection. So there's a nice commonality in that.
Yeah. And I find a sense of purpose in it. And that's what my brain is always longing for, purpose. And with sewing, when I'm in front of my machine, it does. And during COVID, actually, so sewing down south had taken off, which I'm sure we'll talk about. But, we have moved our operations to a factory in Beaufort outside of Charleston. And so I wasn't as sewing as much as I was, before the business started to grow. And in COVID, I brought out my sewing machines and I started to design. Well, I had been designing a lot, but I hadn't been actually sewing. And I started to sew again last March and I loved it. And we actually I started to sew masks and handkerchiefs in the beginning because I kind of just saw this, I kind of envisioned what would happen with masks. And we were able to incorporate that into the company, but it was really nice to get my machine out again. And all of a sudden, I know a lot of people cooked and baked or played video games or whatever they might have done. But for me, I was happy to be inside with my machine again. And I made an entire workspace because I was at this rental house. My house was under construction. And I dove back into it again, which was, it made the time go by a little faster, a little easier.
Yeah, starting last March was good timing on you to get going on that again. One of your focuses, Craig, is anti-bullying. So I want you to talk about how it was to introduce your love for sewing on the show and have to deal with the kidding that you got. And as a second to that, for those who are experiencing bullying, what words of encouragement can you give them?
So I was bullied horribly growing up, but I was very fortunate to have a loving household to come back to. So I had two parents. My mom was a teacher. My dad owned his own business. And we had dinner as a family with my little brother every night. So home was a safe space for me. But, the school bus and school and stuff was really hard. And what I did at an early age was I self-validated. And I don't know if that's because I had the positive encouragement from my parents or what, but I was able to tell myself at a young age that I was good enough. And I truly believed that. And I knew I just kind of had to get out of, make it through high school and I would be fine. And because of that self-validation is why I've been able to survive in the TV world for so long, because it can be really nasty. And fortunately, because of all of the bullying I experienced when I was younger, it doesn't have any effect on me now. I mean, of course, there's ways to get stung. I mean, everyone has their feelings hurt. But when it comes to something that I've made my mind up about or that I want to do, I do not seek validation from others at all. Sure, it would be great, but a lot of people ask me, who was your biggest supporter when you started sewing? Who believed in you the most? And I was like, I did. It was me. No one else did. I mean, of course, my parents did, but no one else. They all thought I was crazy, but I knew that I had something. And because it's what I wanted to do. I think one of the biggest gifts in life or blessings in life is if you can get to a spot where you do what you want to do, no matter what anyone else says, it's just, it's a type of freedom. It's one of the biggest senses of freedom. And so, yeah, in the beginning, everyone hated on me sewing. And I actually thought it was an attractive quality. I think doing something that other people are scared to do or insecure to do, I think it shows confidence that I, you know, there's maybe stereotypes around who should be sewing, but I didn't care. And I think that's attractive.
Mm-hmm.
That, and then, you know, I was a lawyer and people thought that I should follow, you know, the same regiment that got created 100, 200 years ago when it was like, well, if you're a lawyer, then you have to wake up and go to work and come home and that's your job. And it just wasn't for me. And so I believed in myself. And it's a message that I try to promote, especially on our pillow parties or when I meet people. I'm like, look, if you like doing this, then do it. Of course, you know, you still have to make an income and stuff, but don't be, you know, don't hide your hobbies. You know, you only have one shot on this world, that at least that we know of, and do whatever you want, you know? And so, yeah, I mean, it makes the success a little sweeter. But I believed in myself and I, you know, it's something that I had to do from a young age. And so, yeah, I my goal is to come up with a way that I can speak to people, you know, that aren't fortunate enough to have a healthy voice at home or something like that. Just to tell them that, you know, whatever it is in life, whether it's, you know, who you want to date or what hobby you want to do or what sport you want to play or what instrument you want to play in band, just do whatever you want to do. I know I'm kind of rambling, but it's something I feel strongly about.
You know, I'm going to slip this in here. Just recently, you opened your law firm and you know, it's noted that you struggled with law and getting to where you are now, and amid everything else that you're doing, you've now hit this goal too.
Yeah, you kind of just have to keep plugging along. And one of the best pieces of advice I ever got, and I'm sure it's written in a book somewhere, but I used to beat myself up a lot, whether it was about money that I should have had or saved, or being further along in my career, or, you know, writing that paper on time in law school. I always beat myself up about it. And someone was like, look, Craig, tomorrow is the first day of the rest of your life. And that is what got me through a lot of heartache and a lot of just self, I guess, deprivation. But yeah, just remembering that tomorrow's the next day of the rest of your life really, really helped me.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, you don't have to follow any particular order in life. But yeah, one of the things when people were giving me crap on the show was you have to pick one thing and focus on it. And that drove me crazy because that's just never been who I am. I was always playing multiple sports or doing multiple clubs. And I hope to have proved them wrong and been like, look, you can have a side hustle. You can have a main hustle. You can do multiple different things. And just because other people are uncomfortable with your amount of risk, it probably means you're doing something right.
Absolutely. Another one of your passions, Craig, is the Polish Man movement. Will you tell us about that?
Yeah. So the Polish Man campaign represents one out of every five children that's abused, that goes unreported. And what they found was it goes unreported because the children don't know how to decipher a good adult from a bad adult. Essentially, they had some research where kids that were abused or kidnapped or whatever it may be were in grocery stores or in public and never really, and didn't reach out for help. And they were like, well, how was I supposed to tell, you know, that guy in the grocery store from the guy that's been abusing me? And so there's a lot to the story that you can read on polishman.com, but how you indicate that you support it is by painting one of your fingernails blue. And so I always have my ring finger painted. It's also an excuse to paint my nails, but in a funny way, but it's a great conversation starter. And that conversation leads to awareness. That awareness leads to donations. And there's a lot of struggle around the world that people don't know about. And this was just one that I really became connected to. I was a guardian when I was in law school, which means I represented children that had been pulled out of their home by DSS, like the Department of Social Services. And so in those cases, parents are assigned an attorney, the state has an attorney, but then I was assigned to represent the kids. And I've just kind of always had this need to reach out and help. And so it's something that I really connect with and I like to support. And I really like we just filmed a project in Vermont and one of the guys started to paint his nail too and kind of warmed my heart. So
excellent. When you were talking before about a few other things, you mentioned a pillow party. And maybe some of our listeners, I doubt this, but maybe some of them might not know what that is. So tell us about that.
So I guess 2 years ago now, I really thought it would be great. It was one of my goals to get pillows into local boutiques around South Carolina and around the East Coast. And I was like, hey, you know, if you start to carry our, in my head, I was like, if you carry our pillows, I would love to come, you know, do an appearance at the store or meet your customers, what have you. So there was a store in Camden, South Carolina that was reopening. They were using it as their new launch party with this new store that they had revamped. And they wanted to sell our products. And so I drove up, not really knowing what to expect. I thought I would just be hanging out at the store. And there was probably 75 people in line when I got there. And they had a table for me. And I was just like, I kind of just shot from the hip. And I was like, you know, anything people buy, I'll sign for them. I'll take a picture. And it was just a really nice experience. So the next day before talking to my partners, I announced that we were going on a pillow party tour on the East Coast. And if you wanted us to come to a local store near you, just to message us. And my partners thought I was crazy, just like they did when we started this company, but it worked out. And so what we did is we found stores that were a little outside main cities. So, you know, towns that wouldn't usually get people, you know, throwing concerts there or doing appearances. And we would bring a ton of pillows and merchandise. And the store had free rein and there was always an alcohol sponsor and a caterer and a band or, you know, live music. And we would come for hours. And so everyone in line, I would spend, you know, a couple minutes with, 5 minutes with, give them a hug. And we'd just share stories about sewing and my path. And there was that's one of my favorite parts about being on TV and being able to open this business is the connection I have with people because, you know, you can put a smile on someone's face just by talking to them for a little bit. And I love that. And so the pillow parties gave me a way to connect with everyone. And what I started to find was that way more people, mm-hmm. way more males, especially so than you think. You know, way more kids so than you think. They learned from their grandparents or their father or their mother. And what happens is it's just something they don't talk about outside of the home. So they were coming to these pillow parties and they were bringing me, I'm looking around my sewing room, I have pillows made by kids that they would bring to me at these parties. And I remember one of the first parties we threw was like a high school football player came with his mom. And he was still in his jersey. I think he was the quarterback. And he had been sewing since he was little. No one knew that about him. And apparently, you know, in the recent months before that, he had started to take his projects into school. And he was now proud of his sewing. And hopefully we can relay this message that sewing is cool. And, you know, the gender stereotypes and roles are silly and they're outdated. And so it's been great to see. But, you know, I was shocked I know a lot of guys sew, but there was a lot of guys that came to these parties with their wives or by themselves or with their partners. And they just thought it was great that we were making sewing cool again. Not that it wasn't ever cool, but I have a platform that a lot of people don't have. And I'm glad I stuck with it. And I think everyone else is, because I was pretty defiant and I was pretty confident where I was like, look, I know I'm an attorney, but I think I have something here. And I think the fact that, you know, we've done well with it can serve as an encouragement to others that may feel like stepping out of their comfort zones. But we did almost 25 or 30 of these events. And I think there was like 200 to 400 people at each one. And it turned out like turned into a party where people became friends in line. And it was just a happy-go-lucky, happy feeling event. And so, you know, when it's safe and socially acceptable to do so, and when everyone's vaccinated this summer, we're excited to get back on the road.
So you've created community around your products. And even more than that, you've got some pretty exciting news to share about Sewing Down South's first brick and mortar retail location / and a book we can look forward to. You got a lot going on. So tell us about your new retail location, pillow parties there, I'm sure. And that's going to be in Charleston, right?
Yes, it is. And that's kind of that was the thought, is it's basically going to be a standing pillow party, which is great because it's right in the middle of King Street, right in the heart of Charleston. It's where I went to undergrad and then law school. I have a ton of history on this street. I mean, a lot of people do. It's the main street in Charleston, but right around it, you can just, there's restaurants and bars that I, you know, it's what made me who I am today. And so we have a very decent space that we found. We'll be opening May 1st, and it's going to be an experience, and we're really, really excited. It's something that I have two amazing partners, and one just, he's our cautious one. You know, he makes sure that we're making money, because if it was up to me, I'd give everything away. But for us to have just officially, you know, taken possession of the property is really neat. And so I, you know, it's 10 minutes from where I live. It's somewhere that I'll be, you know, a lot, almost every day. And we'll have, you know, we'll have my buddy Austin's beer in there on tap and some wine for while you're shopping. We'll have an embroidery. I'm pretty sure we'll have an embroidery station. I'll be there to talk and share stories. And I mean, it was always a goal of mine. I just didn't know how many years it would take. And so we're really excited about the store.
And you have a book coming out.
Yeah, I do. I'm very humbled by that, because this started about probably eight to nine months ago. And I was approached about writing a memoir, because I wrote a cookbook when I was in eighth grade, actually. And by writing a cookbook, I mean, it was done on a Polaroid camera, like instant print camera. And I would plate the food and draw up the recipes. And my mom still has that. And it's been a goal of mine to write a cookbook. And instead I was approached to write a memoir, and I was like, I have not done enough stuff in my life to have a memoir yet. I also thought memoir meant once you died, that's the book that they wrote about. You know, I was very
after you're gone.
Yeah, exactly. So they were like, look, Craig, we just want to capture, we want to see if you have a story to be told. We kind of feel like you do. And as I sat down with my writer and just talked and talked, things that I didn't think were good stories apparently were. I'm very open and transparent. I mean, you know, it's not really relevant here, but after law school, you know, I was still taking a bunch of ADD medicine like Adderall. And it wasn't until I moved to the Bahamas where I started free diving that I stopped that. And he was like, Craig, there's a lot of people that can relate to that. And I was like, oh, well, yeah, I don't mind sharing that. Like, there's a lot of stuff that I'm open about. And I, you know, I started selling golf balls on the golf course when I was 12. You know, I'd fish them out of the pond and sell them for a quarter. And apparently they saw this kind of entrepreneurial, you know, trip that I took in my life. And so we're writing a book called Pillow Talk. It should come out this fall. And I'm excited. I think you'll get to learn a lot about me that the show doesn't necessarily get to show. You know, we only film a couple months a year, so you don't really get that full picture of who I am. And yeah, it should be fun. We feature, you know, it's a happy, so it's supposed to be a happy curl up in a blanket on the couch book to show people. You know, I was 31 when I started Sewing Down South. So I had almost 9 years after undergrad and almost 6 years after law school before I really, you know, started what many people would think is, you know, adulting or starting a real career. But sometimes it takes time to figure it out. So I think it'll show people that, you know, even though there's some challenges and you might have messed up, you know, some in your life, that there's still a happy ending at the end of that road, which was really based off this graphic I saw where it showed the inventor, the creator of 5-Hour Energy and Uber and some other companies were in their 40s when they started it. And I was like, oh, okay, yeah, it's not too late to get going.
Yeah, it's never too late. And you said that's coming out in the fall.
Yes.
Excellent. Now,
called Pillow Talk. Well, it's temporarily called Pillow Talk.
You mentioned Austin's beer at your pillow parties, and you and Austin have a podcast called Pillows and Beer. Tell us about that.
So during the during the beginning of the pandemic, Austin and I, so my house had a water damage. So I was renting a house downtown near Austin's, and he would golf cart over to my house, and I missed having the pillow parties. He missed being out on the town meeting everyone. Everyone missed that human connection, but we really missed connecting with our fans and everything we were used to. And so we started to go live on Instagram, and a lot of those lives got silly. You know, we would just be drinking with the people and going live with them and talking. And we were like, how are we not? Well, people started to ask, like, how are these not recorded? Because the lives go away as soon as you stop. And so, you know, we had been talking about, even we had been traveling together for 2 years prior, and we just had always felt like we should do a podcast, but we didn't know how to get started, and we were kind of putting it off until I got my business partner Jerry involved, and I was like, and he's like, look, is this something you guys are actually going to do? And we're like, yes, if you set it up, we will do it. And so all of a sudden, a box of equipment arrived in the house, and he's like, I'm holding you guys to this. And so we started recording every week, and I need to learn the term. I forget what it is, but it's just a very unstructured conversation. I mean, there is some structure, but it's about something different every week. We love bringing our friends on that are also in the industry, because a lot of people know each other in the TV world that people don't know about because they don't really like to do crossovers, which is silly in my opinion. But we've had some really entertaining guests, and we've found that the level of engagement that comes from podcasting is completely unmatched and completely different than the engagement we get from the television show. Because we don't talk about our show on the podcast, and instead we talk about everything else going on in our lives. And I've really enjoyed it because the messages and the conversations I have on the street now are they're just different. Like, the engagement is deeper, and we're able to reach people on a level that, you know, we can't do on Southern Charm. So it's been a really pleasant experience. We just released the 9th episode this week, and hopefully we continue to keep the ball moving.
Yeah, these are fun to do. I want to go back to Sewing Down South. You carry certain lines of items, and I'm sure you have to decide what you want to carry, what you don't want to carry. And I do want to just interject here. There more than likely will be that embroidery station in your store, thanks to the good folks at Bernina.
Yeah, they're great.
They are. So Craig, how do you guys decide what merchandise you're going to carry and what you don't want to carry?
Well, that's where our partner Amanda comes in. She's a branding expert. She's been in the business for a long time, not textiles, but just in whether it's entertainment or music or clothing. So I come up with the designs, I come up with the concepts, I sketch a lot, and then we have an amazing artist that we work with who's able to render my sketches and my ideas into, you know, computer graphics that we can use. If it was up to me, we'd probably have a lot more products and designs, but it's not how a successful business works. So now that it's been almost 2 years, we do have a lot of lines and a lot of merchandise and products. But, you know, when we started with 5 solid pillows, and they were inspired by my travels to the Bahamas and my life in Charleston and growing up on the Eastern Shore of Delaware. So they were coastal chic. And then we launched a new line, and then we got a deal with Thomasville, which is, you know, more of an interior decorator line. And as we kept going, we just, Amanda paces us so that instead of, you know, we've had our children's line that we just released, our nursery line, you know, we've had that drawn up since, you know, the beginning of last year. But with COVID and everything happening and other deals that we, or other lines we had going on, you know, we held it until an appropriate time to launch. And so if it was up to me, I would launch everything at the same time because I want to show everyone all the great stuff that we have. But Amanda's really good at running that side of the business, which I speak about it a lot. I would not be where I am today without the team that I have. I was held up on creating a logo and creating a name for the company. I mean, I really let that cripple me. Like I said, my perfectionism or OCD really tends to get in the way of decision-making sometime. And so when Amanda and Jerry came on board, it really pushed me to where I am today because I could focus on what I was good at and they get to run those other sides. So we do have a candle line that'll be in the store exclusively on King Street. And we have some kitchen oils we're doing. And so we're finally being able allowed to branch into kitchen stuff, soft goods at least, and some more fun products. We have a toddler pillow that we designed, like an actual pillow for them to sleep on that we're launching too. So slowly but surely we're adding to the line, but we, you know, Amanda always told me that you have to have that strong foundation of something you do really well at first before you can show people that you do other stuff well also.
Mm-hmm. So we know what's next for Sewing Down South. What's next for you? What's your dream?
Probably to be in a Hallmark Christmas movie.
there are so many of those. There's options.
I know. I love Christmas time. The holiday line we do is my favorite. That's my favorite time of year. I'm heavily, heavily involved in that. I mean, I am with all of our lines, but the Christmas line, I mean, if it was up to me, I would definitely have Christmas all year. What's next for me? I think really building this store into an example of what retail can be these days. You know, you hear retail is dead all of the time. And we want to show that that's not necessarily true. We have a really fun project that Austin and I just worked on in Vermont, which I think people are going to absolutely love. And I'm kind of just being a yes man right now. I think as soon as you start to say no to opportunity, that's when the brakes get put on and that's when stuff stops. And I've always been a yes guy. That's how I ended up on the show. I mean, that was terrifying. It took me 5 months to decide that because I was in law school at the time. But I was like, what would I regret more? Not doing it and wondering what if, or doing it and having to fix things down the road. So, you know, I think we can look forward to another pillow party tour down in Florida, Texas, and maybe the West Coast this year. And, you know, if you want to find me and my friends, we'll probably be at the store on King Street. And that's where I want to focus. I want to focus on the store and the law firm. I've been fortunate that I've gotten to travel a lot, but I think this is going to be a challenge this year of having both companies. And I think I would want to prove to myself that I can handle it. So, well, that, and I think you'll get some more of our original show coming up too. So, there's a lot in the works.
So we'll look forward to seeing you in a Hallmark movie around Christmas coming up.
I think that would be fun. I've always had a love for those. They actually filmed one in Charleston last year, so I guess I missed my shot on that.
They'll come back. Those are pretty special. Craig, we've talked about a ton of stuff today. What didn't I ask you that you wish I had?
Oh, you were amazing. Honestly, this is great. I love talking about the sewing world and how I started, especially I love that you brought up the bullying too, because that's something I can really focus on. I'll say that for people wondering how I got started into sewing a couple years ago, I started with a Brother machine that I bought on Amazon that embroidered too. And I think I was fascinated with embroidery. And then I moved up to a Bernina machine, and that's, I've been using Bernina's for over 2 years now. And so I highly recommend that. And YouTube, just go to YouTube. You can type in anything on YouTube and it'll pop up. So there's a way to start. And I think it's addicting and I think you'll really enjoy it. So
excellent. Craig, if any of our listeners want to reach out to you, what's the best way to do that?
So my Instagram is CA Conover. You can pretty much find all of our info from CA Conover, but then our Sewing Down South Instagram is just that. It's Sewing Down South. Our email is on there. That's where we do most of our correspondence with the company and any questions that you have. And I'd love to hear from you all. That's one of the, you never get sick of hearing feedback. A lot of people sometimes don't know if, sure, we've been open for 2 years. So they're like, do they really want to hear from us? But we do. We love hearing, we love reading the reviews. We love speaking with you. No one ever gets sick of hearing compliments, whatever facet of life it may be in. If you have something nice to say, I'm shy actually, which people find hard to believe, but I really am. A compliment can really go a long way. It certainly can make someone's day. So I think don't be scared to be nice is a good thing to live by.
I like that. Craig, this has been a wonderful conversation. And I want to thank you for sharing your story with us today.
Yeah, thank you, Meg. Thanks for having me on. Maybe we can do this again sometime. It'd be great.
Absolutely. That'd be great. Maybe live in Charleston at your store.
That's exactly what I was thinking.
Excellent. Well, there you have it. Another story about someone just like you. Someone for whom sewing is so much more than a hobby. It's a way of life. A connection to something bigger. If you know someone you think has an outstanding story, a story that should be shared on this podcast, please drop me a note to megoodman@theflintrock.com and put "you should hear their story" in the subject line. Be sure to subscribe to this podcast on your favorite platform and visit our website, soandsopodcast.com, for more information about today's guest and all of our guests. That's SEWANDSOpodcast.com. And finally, I want to thank Bernina for making this program possible. I'm Meg Goodman, and I look forward to you joining us next time on So and So.